Welcome to the Simply Financial Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Calandra. This is season 4, episode number 25. On today's episode, I wanted to talk about the 10 steps to creating and maintaining a solid financial plan. So I'm going to just jump right in. Number one is write down your goals. I did an episode on this back in season 3, episode 28, with my friend Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. But you want to write down your financial goals. I also mentioned to people about goal setting is I'm a big believer in not just setting long-term goals, but also short and midterm goals. So number one is you want to write down your financial goals. It's the first of 10 steps to creating and maintaining a solid financial plan. Number two is start an emergency fund. I referenced this in last week's episode, which was specifically about emergency funds. But general conventional wisdom says you should have 3 to 6 months in a bank account, safe and secure, that you can be used in a pinch if an emergency should come your way. If you want more information about that, please check out last week's episode. Number three, pay off debt. It's really tough to build wealth when you're saddled with debt, especially debt that is generally considered worse than other debt. Bad debt would include things like credit cards, car loans, personal loans, and probably student loans. Debt that is a mortgage on your personal residence is generally viewed, and I view it this way too, a little less problematic as long as it fits within a good budget where you're not completely cash strapped because the monthly mortgage payment is strangling you. But pay off debt. Living beneath your means, pay off your debt is step number three on your way to creating a solid financial plan. Number four is create a plan to invest. Some of you may do this on your own. Many others work with me and the team here at Elliott Wealth Management Services to come up with a good investment strategy that takes into account risk, your goals, your time horizon, and other relevant considerations in setting up a good, solid investment plan. But number four, create a plan to invest. Keep an eye to the long term, especially with retirement investments during your working years. So that's number four. Number five, get the right insurance. You need to protect yourself, especially in today's scary world and litigious world too, where we're all at risk for getting sued. But get the right insurance. That would include health insurance. It would include auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance to protect loved ones against the loss of your income. And if you're a business owner, there's types of business insurance you should strongly consider getting. And I'll throw in lastly, disability. Health was the first thing I mentioned. Most of you probably have health insurance, but it's critically important to have health insurance. When you look at the statistics in terms of people that file for bankruptcy, the most common thing that drives people into bankruptcy is huge healthcare costs. Now, even if you have health insurance, perhaps even if you have good health insurance, this might be a risk. But that risk seems to be way too high to go without health insurance. Sometimes younger individuals who are young and healthy, they'll forego health insurance. My view, having been a financial advisor for 28 years now, is that it's not worth the risk. It's money well spent. So make sure you have health insurance. So number five is to get the right insurance. Number six, create a retirement plan. Many of you are participating in retirement accounts. Could be a 401k, IRAs, Roth IRAs, SEPs. There's a lot of different ways perhaps that you could save for retirement, especially if you're self-employed. There's quite a menu of options available to you, but you want to have a retirement plan as part of your financial plan. And you want to monitor how much you're going to save, how much you're currently eligible for, if applicable, in terms of company match or company contributions into your retirement account. And I think it's a good idea to project out what the nest egg would look like when you get to retirement age, 60, 65, 70, whatever. And that forecasting becomes more important the older you get and the closer you get to the potential time when you're ready to retire. So you want to create a retirement plan. This is something here at Elliott Wealth Management Services, we spend a lot of time with our clients discussing, planning, and tracking. The number one goal for most of our clients is to retire with a good nest egg so that they could enjoy their golden years. And for our clients that are retired, we are focused on maintaining the nest egg, taking very good care of it, and structuring a plan to generate income that will live past their life expectancy, hopefully reducing or eliminating the chances that they run out of money before they pass on. So number six is create a retirement plan. Number seven, plan for taxes. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Nobody really likes paying taxes, but it is part of being a citizen. We do get quite a bit for our tax money in many instances, but I, like most of us, love to complain about the amount of taxes I pay. It's almost like a part of the American spirit. But a few quick thoughts planning for taxes is when you do the forecasting I just spoke about in creating a retirement plan, is you want to factor in income taxes in those forecasts. Too many people think, well, if I have a nest egg and I get this amount of income, but they forget the big chunk that will impact what you'll net after you pay federal income taxes and perhaps state income taxes. Of course, these forecasts into the future, especially with retirement planning, there's uncertainty as to what the tax code will look like. Recently, under President Trump, there was a significant reduction in income taxes and income tax brackets were expanded. So historically, income taxes are rather low today. They may not always be low. In fact, history tells us there is an ebb and a flow with this. At certain times, income taxes are higher and at other times they're lower. So when you're forecasting out in the retirement, especially if it's long-range forecasting, you're unsure what taxes will look like. But nonetheless, it's important that you factor in some assumption for income taxes. Otherwise, you're going to be misleading yourself, thinking you'll have more income than what you will actually have once you pay Uncle Sam and perhaps your local state and even in some instances, city income taxes. I'll also note in terms of planning for taxes, if you're self-employed, you have to pay quarterly taxes. For those of you that are W-2 employees, you may not even be aware that this occurs. But if you're self-employed, you have to make quarterly tax payments. In most years, they are January 15th, April 15th, June 15th, and then September 15th. You have to make quarterly tax payments. And for self-employed individuals, sometimes, for a variety of reasons, they do not make those quarterly tax payments. And that sets them up for a very upsetting experience when they prepare their taxes the following year because they may be looking at a large tax bill. That's very upsetting to a lot of people. It's stressful. And if you haven't set aside money for the tax obligation as part of the financial plan, it could really ruin a lot of the progress that you think you were making during the year, but you perhaps weren't making that progress because you didn't account for your tax liability. I believe, if at all possible, make your quarterly tax payments. If you are in a cash crunch, do what you can. if that crunch is relieved, you could make up what you didn't contribute in quarterly tax payments later in the year. But it's generally a good idea to work with your tax professional, come up with a good estimate of quarterly taxes, and make those quarterly tax payments so that your tax preparation and tax filing is not stressful. I think that's a key part of creating a solid financial plan. Moving on to number 8, create an estate plan. I am a big believer, all of us here at Elliott Wealth Management Services are believers in the fact that everyone ought to have a will and accompanying documents. These accompanying documents do vary from state to state, but often will include powers of attorney, a healthcare directive, an appointment of someone to make healthcare decisions if you were incapacitated. There are typically a roster of documents that go along with the will. This is particularly important, the will, if you have children, because the will gives you an opportunity to, in writing, to tell loved ones, if God forbid something should happen, who you would want to care for the children. So a will is very important. Creating an estate plan is important. Part of that creation of an estate plan is to make sure that your accounts have beneficiary designations, so that if something happens to you, the money that you have in various accounts can go to your beneficiaries easily, without much delay, without much bureaucracy, and bypassing probate, which really helps ease the burden on your heirs if they could avoid probate and all that bureaucracy. So lots of accounts have beneficiary designations, retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, the whole spectrum of retirement accounts. Annuities also have beneficiary designations that are standard. Life insurance, whether it is life insurance that you get individually or life insurance that you might get through your employer, make sure your beneficiary designations are up to date, are consistent with your wishes, and that you have copies of the beneficiary forms in a safe place with your other important documents. If you're married, typically if you have an investment account, if it's not a retirement account, it'll be joint. And that's a form of a beneficiary designation. So I have joint investment account with my wife. If something happens to me, she automatically becomes the owner. And if something happens to her, I automatically become the owner. If you are not married, and you have investment accounts, especially ones of some size, we recommend adding a TOD, or transfer on death, on the account registration. And that is basically taking an account that typically doesn't have a beneficiary component and adds a beneficiary designation to the account. It's a great strategy. So number 8, create an estate plan. Number 9, review that plan regularly. The financial plan that you create in the first 8 steps is meant to be reviewed. Things will change. Life will happen. The plan, thus, is going to change. Sometime you'll achieve goals, and that'll need to be reflected in the plan. Other times, you might have setbacks, job loss, healthcare bills, a business that struggles, whatever the case is. Life is definitely going to happen. You want to review the plan regularly, at least once a year, probably more likely twice a year. Many of our clients, we review their portfolios and their plans as much as 4 times during the year. So it depends on individual circumstances. And in some years, you might be in the midst of more change that may require a little more review of your financial plan, whereas other years might be calmer, normal, without a lot of changes, and you might be able to get by with maybe once or twice a year. But you want to review the plan regularly. It's not something that you create and put in a drawer someplace and never look at it again. That will not help you build wealth and make smart financial decisions. And then number 10 is stay the course. Building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. So you want to have a plan, as we just discussed. you want to stick with it, although recognize that the plan is going to be modified, will need to be modified over time. But in general, stick with the plan. Don't overspend. Live beneath your means so that you have money to put away to build wealth by either paying down debt or building up assets. And the last point under stay the course is learn from your mistakes. We all are going to make mistakes when we're dealing with money over time. Everybody has stories from small to large, from mistakes that happened instantly to mistakes that were not realized until some time has gone on. But learn from your mistakes. Incorporate what you've learned into your financial plan to make sure it remains solid, not just when you first set it up, but it remains solid throughout the time that you're building wealth, which is probably going to be quite a while. So those are our 10 steps to build a solid financial plan, to create it and maintain it so that it stands the test of time and serves you well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I would ask you, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do so. Also, it would be great if you recommended it to someone else and have them check out the podcast. And I mentioned our work here at Elliott Wealth Management Services several times during this episode. If you want more information about us, please go to our website, www.elliottwealth.com. Get more information about me, the rest of the team, and how we help our clients. You can also sign up for a complimentary consultation where we could talk about how we might be able to help you win with money. Thanks again. I will be back with you on the next episode of the Simply Financial Podcast very soon.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sage Point Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with Sage Point Financial.